see this number out this morning, and good to have some visiting with us. We encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I want you to feel at ease as you make your visit and feel comfortable as we study the Word of God together. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll be turning to the 10th Psalm, that's where we'll begin our study, Psalm 10. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Daniel has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, while we're standing and singing, we'd encourage you to come forward to the front row and let it be known that you desire to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, if you'd come forward, we'd be glad to assist you in any way. In Psalm 10, look, if you will, with me at verse 6. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. Then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the 16th Psalm. And when you come to the 16th Psalm, look, if you will, at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Then if you take your Bible, if you will, notice with me in Psalm 30. In Psalm 30, notice verse 6. Now in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Have you ever noticed that one individual can make a statement, and another individual can make a similar statement, and they sound the same in one way, but when you begin to investigate what they said, you'll find that what they said is completely different. There are some things that can be said by different people, and when you listen to what they say, though what they say is similar, their statement is completely different. In the book of Psalms, we have one saying made by three different individuals. But what a difference when you stop and investigate what these men said. And what I'd like to do is examine this one saying by three men and examine what they said, and then we'll make application to our life, and the lesson is yours. I want you to take note that in each of the statements made, they said, I shall not be moved. They all seem confident in their statement. But when you go back and look at these three men, you'll find their confidence is in something different. Go back, if you will, to the 10th Psalm, and in verse 6, notice what that man had to say. In Psalm 10, that man was confident, but notice that his confidence was in himself. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit, and oppression under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. Here is a man that you'll take note is living in sin. This is a wicked man, and he's confident in himself, and he says that I shall not be moved. Here is a man that is full of pride. Here is a man who's full of iniquity. Here is a man who's full of deceit. And he has made up in his mind that because he is a strong man in his own estimation, he shall not be moved. And you know, when you look at people, you'll find there are wicked men who can deceive themselves into believing that no one will move them. They can defy God, and they can defy man, and they can defy law, and they can say that they'll do whatever they want to do, and that nothing will happen to them. They say they will not face adversity, that they're too tough or too strong, they're too strong-willed to have any problems in life. That is the confidence of a wicked man. But you know, my friend, when you stop and think about it, an individual can be wicked in many different ways. You can be wicked in your life. You can be wicked in the choices that you make. If you take your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you remember there was a man that was living wickedly openly at that particular time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you'll find a man who was living with his father's wife. That man was living in an incestuous, adulterous relationship. And you remember Paul condemned that man. Though the church at Corinth had not condemned him at that time, Paul wrote to them and said, you need to withdraw yourself from such a man because he is wicked. And here was a man who was so confident in his wickedness that he was doing it openly and deliberately in front of the brethren, almost daring them to do something about it. And Paul said, by your condoning this man's behavior, you do wickedly. And Paul tells them to withdraw from such a man. But then if you take your Bible, an individual can live wickedly by teaching error. If you look in 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll remember what Peter had to say in verse 17. When Peter said, therefore, beloved, since you knew this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. An individual can become wicked by teaching that which is erroneous, teaching that which is wrong, teaching that which is error, and we can lead others astray. So here are some men who are confident in themselves to the point that they no longer teach the Bible, but they teach their own opinion. They stand up and do not give book, chapter, and verse. They do not give God's ordinances, but they give their own view and they give their own thoughts and they do not preach the truth of God. And that, my friend, is wickedness. But then there's a third thing. Not only can you be wicked in your life, or you can be wicked in teaching error, but you can be wicked and even be religious. If you take your Bible in the book of Matthew and the 15th chapter, you remember that Jesus said in verse 9 that there are some who are wicked even though they worship God. But he said their worship is vain. He said, in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines of men. If you do not teach the truth of God and do not worship God as you should, you can be wicked though you're religious. But then I'll tell you there's a fourth way. One can be wicked by failing to do good. You remember that James said in James chapter 4 and about verse 17, to him who knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Do you recognize that when we fail to do what we know we should do, we live wickedly? But then I'll tell you there's another thing. When you think about God's Word and you think about what God has said, there are a lot of people who live a good moral life, but they don't live and do God's will. And you remember in Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So there are people that are wicked in this world, but they take confidence in their own goodness. They take confidence in their own morality, and they do not hearken to God's divine revelation. But why would an individual do such? Why would an individual make such a statement to say, I shall not be moved? Well, I think several reasons. I tell you one, if a person doesn't believe in God with all their heart, they'll make such a statement. When an individual does not believe in the Creator, he doesn't believe in the One who reigns on high, then he thinks he can live and do his own thing in his own way, and he doesn't care what God's Word says. If you take your Bible, if you will, look with me in the 14th Psalm. And when you come to the 14th Psalm, notice with me what David had to say. In Psalm 14, in verse 1, he says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Have you ever thought that's a foolish statement? He said that the fool is the man who says there is no God. He puts not his trust in God. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't trust in God. And notice what he says. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none who does good. The man that doesn't believe in God is not going to act nice or act good. He's going to act abominable because he doesn't believe in the judgment day. He doesn't believe he's going to be judged for his works. And so for he is confident in his own wickedness. Have you ever thought about today how many people are confident in their own wickedness? They do as they please, and they think God will just overlook it, or they don't believe in God. But secondly, there are some people who have a wrong view of life. How many people live ungodly, and they feel like this man, nothing's going to move them, and yet they live their life not considering the end, that they will face God in the judgment. Look at Saul in 1 Samuel 15. You remember in 1 Samuel 15, God had told him to utterly destroy the Amalekites and destroy all the livestock and kill all the people. And yet he spared some of the livestock and he spared King Agag. What was wrong with Saul? Saul was confident in himself and not in God. Saul thought he knew better than God. So here was a man who thought he knew more than God, who thought he was much better than God, and God punishes that man. Look at Judas in Matthew 27. He was a man who was confident in his wickedness, and that man was moved. So I want us to understand that there are some who come up with pride. And man who is lifted up with pride will make such a statement that they will not be moved. I want to raise a question. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever said, I shall not be moved? And you're just so confident in yourself and in your abilities and in your morality and in your decisions that you will say, nobody will move me. I've seen some people who are so determined not to be moved and in their wickedness and in their poor decisions would not repent of their sin because they said, I am not going to change. There are people like that. And that's like the man in Psalm 10. He was wicked, and here was a man who was a confident, and even though he was a wicked man. But take your Bible and notice something else. Open your Bible to the 30th Psalm. And when you come to the 30th Psalm, notice a man makes a similar statement. In Psalm 30, in verse 6, notice this individual says, I've said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. Now look at this man. The first man was confident in his wickedness. This man is confident in his prosperity. And he makes the exact same statement the first man made. He said, I shall not be moved. Now, what gave this man confidence was his earthly prosperity. And he said, because I have prosperity, I feel secure. I don't feel like anything's going to happen to me. I have everything that I need. And this could be made by the children of God as they enjoy things in life. There are people who make these kinds of statements that we feel like because we have everything we need, we can sit back and be at ease. We have our family, we have good health, we feel like everything's fine. And yet, my friend, with a snap of the fingers we talked about in a Bible class this morning, things can change. With a snap of a finger, everything can be taken from us. If you take your Bible and look at the book of Luke in the 12th chapter, you'll find a man who was prosperous. You'll find a man who had a lot. You'll find a man who had great wealth. And his crops continued to increase, and he tore down his old barns because they were too small and built bigger barns to store his crops. And this man said, I can sit back and take ease. And then you remember what the Bible said? That God said to this very night, your soul is required of thee. But he called him something. What did he call him? Thou fool. Thou fool. It's foolish to take and have confidence in prosperity. There are some people, I believe, that think that if your bank account is very large, that just means God has given you everything, and that means you're in favor with God. I'll tell you something. There are a lot of wealthy people who are not in favor with God. There are a lot of wealthy people who came that way by dishonest means. And there are a lot of wealthy people that came that way by honest means. But the question I want to raise before you is, do you put your faith in what you possess? Do you feel secure just because you have wealth? Because I'll tell you, in the book of Luke in the 16th chapter, you'll find a man that lived sumptuously every day. He lived a wealthy life, but when he died, he was in Hades. That man's soul was put in torment. Now, if money could buy you out of hell, why didn't it buy the rich man in Luke 16 out? If money means that you're, and prosperity means that you can have confidence, why is that rich man begging a beggar in Luke 16 for just a drop of water? I'll tell you, my friend, there are a lot of people today, they feel secure with their jobs, they feel secure with their financial statement, they feel secure with what they have in the bank, and there's nothing wrong with having money, there's nothing wrong with having financial success, but I'll tell you what the problem is when we start putting our trust in riches and not in God. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And when you come to 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice with me a statement that is made by Timothy or by Paul when he's writing to the young evangelist Timothy. He wants him to understand the importance of not putting your faith in riches. And he instructs him to teach such. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in, watch it, uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The only riches that I can make assurances of are those which God gives. Earth gives us uncertain riches. And so the man in Psalm 30 is a man who at this time was taking and making his prosperity what made him confident. And how many people have lost loved ones? How many people have looked at the grave and thought they were wealthy, but they didn't have God? I'll never forget hearing about a man in Nashville. Had his business. And he quit coming to church because he had his business to run. And someone asked him, so why aren't you coming to church? And he said, you don't know how busy I am. But you know, my friend, he got so busy. But he never got so busy he didn't die. He died one day. And I've often thought about all the money he made working on Sunday. What did it mean to him? What was it mean to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? But then I want you to look at the third statement. Look at the man in Psalm 16. Now the man in Psalm 16 has a completely different view than the other two men. And I like what this man says. In Psalm 16, look at what he says in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. I like that statement. Here was a man who put his confidence in God. He didn't put his confidence in prosperity. He didn't put his confidence in himself. He put his confidence in God. And he said God was at his right hand. What a contrast from the other two. That man had made a decision. His decision was that God was going to be a priority in his life. The priority of his life. And he said, God is with me. And the man with God at his right hand had the strength of God to overcome trials and temptation. That's why in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we talked about earlier this morning, that you remember when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, that he says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Who is able to bear it? The man who has God at his right hand. The man who puts God first. The man whose trust and confidence is in God. Now the man whose trust is in himself, when temptation comes, he's going to fall. He's the man in verse 12. Therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. But the man whose confidence is in God, when trials come, he knows that he can go to God and he'll find a way to escape the temptations of life. But notice something else, if you will. When you look back, have you thought about that when God is at your right hand, you can adjust to abundance or when you have little? In Philippians chapter 4, you remember Paul talked about that he learned whatever state, verse 11, he was in, to be content. He said in verse 11, I've learned to abound and to be abased. When your confidence is in God, when your poverty or when your prosperity, you still put your faith in God and you're still richly blessed. I've seen people who didn't have much. I've been in gospel meetings. And I'll tell you some of the things that have touched my heart. It's when there was someone who's invited me to their home and their home was just tiny. They didn't have much at all, but they cooked what they had, and they shared what they had, and they rejoiced with you. I'll tell you something. That means a lot. Because those people, even in poverty, are happy. Because they see they're blessed with God. And I'll tell you what, I think some of our problem is we've been so prosperous for so long, we forget God. Maybe sometime it wouldn't hurt us just to go back to the necessities of life. And what we call necessities aren't necessities. I've had people come to me and they want someone to pay all their bills and they've got their TV bill so high, but they want you to pay their electric bill. Well, if you're getting 300 channels, is that a necessity? I'll tell you, what we call a necessity, my friend, is not a necessity. But that brings up something else. The man who puts his confidence in God can face every trial in life. Open your Bible to the Roman letter in the 8th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter in the 8th chapter, I want you to think about what the Apostle Paul had to say in verse 35. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" No. None of those things. He'd already said back in verse 18, "I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Have you ever thought, my friend, that in Christ we are more than conquerors in verse 37 through Him who loved us? I shall not be moved, not because of my own strength, not because of my own goodness, not because I'm Mike Richardson, not because I'm a preacher, or not because I'm a member at the Eastside Church of Christ. I shall not be moved because I put my confidence in God. That's where our faith and confidence needs to be. And Paul said in Romans 8, "I shall not be moved." I think about Paul in Acts chapter 20 on his way to Jerusalem. What did Paul say in verse 22? "I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testified in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." Well, you know, if that might be some of us, we might say, "Chains and tribulations? I don't want to go to Jerusalem." But look at what Paul said. "But none of these things move me." Why, Paul? "Because my confidence is in God. It's not in myself. It's not in my prosperity. But my confidence is in my Creator." Now, what about you? Where do you put your faith and trust? Are you lifted up with pride? You know what? We need to be brought low. Have we put our faith and our trust and trust in our prosperity? It can be taken with a snap of a finger. The one who is not moved is the one who is in the arms of the shepherd. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 10th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 10th chapter, look at what Jesus said. Oh, it's a beautiful picture in John 10. When He says in verse 28, "I shall give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." That's someone who puts their confidence in God. When you're in the arms of God, and near the heart of God, and your trust is in God, your trust is in the shepherd, then, my friend, you're in the right place. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. And if ever there was one of my favorite passages, this is it. Brother Jackson used to close every meeting with this passage. I close every meeting with this passage, where the Apostle Paul says in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You ever thought about being immovable? The only way I can be immovable is if my faith is in God. Where do you put your trust? Where do you put your faith? One saying, three men. They came to different conclusions. But the man in Psalm 16 came to the right conclusion. because God is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. It reminds me of what is quoted in the New Testament. If God is for me, what can man do to me? Who can be against us? God is my strength. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we pray that you'd put your faith in God, have your sins blotted out.